This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington, presented by EMP 180 Weight Loss Structure. Accountability results, the standard for weight loss in the area. It's EMP180weightloss.com. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle and Johnny Cakes Auville. Bish will be back next week from his boring staycation where he's called into the show twice and asked to come in. He's done nothing.
Hey,
those
you
sometimes
know what?
Are the best staycations.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely.
You like to goof on staycations. You
no,
really do.
I do the same thing.
No, but you do mock it.
I'm mocking that he called in twice this week. That's how bored he was.
It's true, but every time somebody has a staycation, you mock it. And yet everyone does it. I mean, who can go on vacation every time you're off?
No, you can't.
What am I, a billionaire over here? I can just fly off anywhere I want at any
point. I just
point.
Did a staycation. I'm just mocking that he has a particularly boring one that he's called into the show twice.
Right. We've all been there.
We will talk more Caps on the show. Brett Connolly, right winger for the Caps, going to join us at 8:40. And Isabel Kershutian is going to join us from the Washington Post at 9:20 to talk Caps Vegas. But joining us right now is a guy who lived in Fairfax, now lives in Florida. And we're having him on the show because there was this incident at a gym in Florida with Richie Incognito, who's the nut job who most recently played for the Buffalo Bills. Offensive lineman. He had that thing with Jonathan Martin years ago, found himself back in the league, actually played well with the Buffalo Bills, but had this incident. And joining us right now is Mark from Delray Beach. Mark, what's going on?
Good morning, Junkies. How you guys doing?
Hello, Mark.
All right, so I want to hear the setup. This was about 2-3 days ago, right? Just happened.
Recently.
It just happened. Tell us. Tell us your routine. Are you normally at this gym? Is this a gym where you've seen him before? How crowded is it? Kind of set the scene for us.
And let us know how you listen to the junk. So you're just a transplant? I mean, how did that happen?
He's from Fairfax. Were you not listening?
I didn't listen to the part that he was from Fairfax.
I'm from Fairfax. I was born in Pittsburgh, but grew up in Fairfax. Longtime Junkies listener.
Nice.
Moved here end of January and a little homesick, and so did the radio.net thing and get a little bit of home cooking with the junks every morning.
I love that. So what was the time that you were there?
He was listening to our Rizzo interview.
Is that what it was?
Rizzo.
All right, so I want to hear all that. And how big is the gym? Is this a normal part of your routine? Do you see guys like Incognito in there all the time? What set that stage?
Well, it's Lifetime Fitness, and I was a 20-year member in Centerville.
Right.
So I was able to come down here, and it's a beautiful gym. It's large. Cost me a little bit extra money because it's a so-called Diamond Club, but it has all the amenities. I can swim. But the really thing that I like about it is there's this outdoor turf area, very large, about a third of a football field that, you know, I would call my playground because it would have all the different toys, if you will,
right, the alpha area, right, that has like turf and football sleds and those type of things, right?
Yeah, and down here it's just a lot larger than I've seen in any other gym, specifically even Lifetime. So yeah, definitely. And you know, I'd never seen Richie at all. It wasn't unusual to see professional athletes down here. It's in adjacent town called Boca Raton.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful gym, so seeing professional athletes wasn't unusual. I was doing my routine, warming up. I knew Rizzo was coming on at 9. I'm a huge Nats fan. I'd just been back home, and my mom is a huge Nats fan. She's 82 years old, and
right. She
was like, "Do you get to keep in touch with the Nats?" And I go, "No, not much, except listening to the radio because everything's the Marlins down here." But so I'm just sort of starting my warm-up routine, sort of taking some laps around the field, and a gentleman comes up, takes his shirt off, and he was huge. I had no idea who he was. he was inked up and big boy, and I was just, huh. But I knew immediately something was off. He was what I refer to as ADD when his workout. He was spending 3 seconds doing something, moving to something else.
Yeah.
And then he went over to the boxing mannequin, tore it off its pedestal, threw it down in a wrestling move, and put his knee into the head.
That seems rather aggressive.
Right.
Yeah, and so I just, you know, I'm just sort of minding my own business. And my first thought was, you know, been there, done that, as far as just maybe he's just trying to work up some steam, you know, hard day, whatever. But I thought it was just very strange, and I kept on working out. He then proceeded to just start cutting me off, doing these little sprints in front of me. And I, you know, the field was big, and I was like, what in the world is he doing? And next thing I know, I felt a presence.
How many people are outside at the point? Is it just you and him?
Yeah, I was by myself, and then he showed up, and that's not unusual either.
Right, sure.
And then next thing I know, I felt his presence. I got nailed with a tennis ball in the back of my leg. And, you know, the place is adjacent to a tennis court, so it's not unusual to see balls over there. And I that's when I said, what the F up, dude? And he grunted something, said something to me, and I just was like really, at the same time, my head was spinning like, what in the world is this guy trying to do?
By the way, how big are you? I just want to kind of picture this. Like, are you a bigger guy?
My buddy had made a joke over social media, said he thought I could take him, and I said, dude, he's an inch taller, he's 120 pounds heavier, and he's 20 years younger.
All right.
And I had no interest, obviously, whatsoever. The next half lap, you know, all of a sudden I look over because I was a little concerned. He launches in a grenade-style launch a dumbbell towards me, and I have to stop for it to land in front of me. And that's when I just said, oh, well, I'm sorry. Right before that, I had put together a weight sled to push. I went over there to grab it. He ran in front of me and grabbed it and pushed it and tried to run me over. And that's when I really went crazy. And that's when he said, he goes, get off my effing playground. And I continued to run around, and I was like, man, this is not right.
By the way, Mark, how big was the dumbbell that he threw in your direction?
You know, I think it was like a 10-pound dumbbell, you know, okay. Something that he could launch pretty. And that's when, after the sled incident, that's when I got my, you know, I was listening, I had my earbuds in, I got my phone out to call 911. And he then started yelling at me, who are you calling? Are you with the government? Who are you calling? And I said, dude, I have no idea what's going on, but this needs to stop. And so when the 911 operator got on, she could overhear him.
Yeah.
And said, is that him? And I said, yeah. She goes, you need to move away from him as soon as possible. I go, oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, why didn't you? I'm surprised you didn't leave earlier. Like, I understand you're a big guy. You got to
get your workout in.
But I mean, this guy's obviously
cuts me off once. Like, I'm doing a lap, and he cuts me off with a sprint, like, very close to my body. I'm out of there.
He's throwing a tennis ball at me. Right. I'm just out.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I that's where I was just, you know, I never been threatened at a gym before. I was just trying to do my thing.
Took you out of nowhere, right?
Yeah. I mean, this happened all within a 5-minute time period.
I mean, Mark's just trying to listen to Mike Rizzo talk about Juan Soto, and he's got Richie Incognito throwing dumbbells in his head.
He wants to hear the Burke and Herbert fan question of the week.
That's all he wanted.
I knew about the game. I think it was the game before where he hit the homer or the Monday night game. And
right.
I was, yes, you're exactly right. You nailed it. I wanted to hear because it was exciting.
You never know what's going on the other side.
So then what happens?
Doing this dumb show.
What happens after you call 911?
The police arrive, three police officers, two go up to the field. One stays with me. And the one says, I need to know if you want to press charges. And I said, listen, those guys can go talk to him. They'll figure it out. And he goes, no, we can't arrest him unless you're going to press charges. Well, I said, no. At that time, a trainer came over and said, hey, do you know who that is? I said, no. He told me. And he goes, he was acting that way yesterday. And that upset me. And I said, dude, if you would have handled it the day before, I wouldn't have had to been dealing with it. So I looked at the cop and I just said, all right, I'll press charges. Well, he radioed the police officers and the police officer said, hey, too late. We've evaluated him. We're bringing him in under the Baker Act, and it's an involuntary psychiatric evaluation that they can, and that's what he's in right now. And it's a, I don't know if, I believe it's specific to Florida. And, you know, the police report was released yesterday, and that's when my phone started blowing up. And I did several TV interviews and a couple of newspaper interviews yesterday. And it's very popular down here because obviously I live down here, but he's a longtime former Miami Dolphin.
Yeah, by the way, they had to take him away with handcuffs tied together, I guess. He had to use multiple handcuffs on him. They could just use a pair of
forms. So when they approached him, I don't know if you were able to see any of it, did he resist arrest?
I was. They brought me away. I could not see. Yeah, and he wasn't arrested. The law doesn't allow them to arrest
him.
They basically told me that particular act states that he was deemed unstable and not, there was no, he couldn't have intently tried to harm me. And I was like, okay.
Right.
I mean, I told the news person yesterday, I said, you know, if he really wanted to, he could have broke me in half. But I just knew it was totally off. And right. Like I told everybody, I'm just hopefully he gets help.
Yeah, it's clear he has mental issues and hopefully he does get the help that he needs. I mean, he
has he gone public before and said that he's like bipolar or anything like that when he's had any of these, like with the mea culpa with the Jonathan Martin thing and he went around and the apology tour and it. Did any of that stuff come out at that time? Do we remember? I'm trying to think.
Yeah, I don't know if he's acknowledged bipolar.
Something. He's got to be.
But just this offseason, you know, he tweeted about having to retire, talked about having kidney failure. He fired his agents on Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not even funny.
It's a nut job.
Yeah. Well, I'm just glad you're okay, brother.
No, I appreciate that. No, me too. I the 911 operator said, could anybody be in harm's way? And I go, I think me. And, yeah, so I am blessed. I am thankful that it didn't escalate. Because when somebody is out of their mind a little bit like that, you just don't know what they're going to do. And, you know, he followed me down to the pool when I left and said something to the ladies that were doing aerobics in the pool, and they all laughed. And he ran back upstairs, and I went over to the ladies and said, you know, I've called the police. And they were sort of shocked. They go, oh, we thought you guys were friends. And I'm like, nope, not friends.
Right. Yeah, I would have been out after the tennis ball, but that's just me.
Oh, yeah. Mark, I don't think I'd be on
the tennis ball. Yes, I should have done that.
Yeah.
All right, Mark. Appreciate you still listening to the show. Radio.com, it's an amazing app. We've told listeners for a long time that they can just follow us with Radio.com.
Yeah, cool. Thanks, man. It's very cool. I mean, I'm sorry you went through that, but I appreciate you calling in and telling us the story.
No problem. Thank you. Love you guys.
All right, man. Thanks, love you, too, man. Thank you, buddy.
Man, the odds, though, that there's one of our listeners in Florida.
How random is that,
Drabby? Lifetime Fitness and a football player tries to take him down.
Does Shorts even have his clothes on at
this point?
He's listening
to the junkies.
He's got to be just beside himself.
Small world. Radio.com app.
Yes, correct.
You're right. You never know what people are doing out there while you're listening.
Yeah, we're just sitting here doing this
dumb
show.
Talking to each other.
Yeah. It happens to me every once in a while where a guy will go, I'm listening to you right now. It's the weirdest thing.
It's bizarre.
Yeah, someone got punched in the face while EB was Porky Piggin yesterday.
You never know. So you never can tell.
Crazy. All right, if you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. Remember, Brett Connolly from the Caps at 840.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Kevin McCarthy, a big fan of Clips and Pusha T. He joined us earlier to give us his movie review, which turned into his rap music resume. But the Clips apparently from the 757.
Okay.
Which
you
is,
say so.
I love the song.
I mean,
I'm from 757.
I've gone 47 plus years without knowing that much about the Clips or Eclipses. And I'm okay with that.
Here's the thing. Some guy was breaking my balls on Twitter going, you know, it's embarrassing that you guys don't know that people from that area call themselves the 757. They do it all the time.
It's I didn't even respond to him. Doesn't fit.
Right. It's a cultural thing. There's a difference there. Just guys like Kevin don't say they're from a certain area.
It's okay if Pusha T says he's from the 757.
Exactly.
It's okay if Michael Vick says he's from the 757.
And by the way, I love those differences. I love the cultural differences. I think they're the greatest thing ever. But, you know, and Kevin can say whatever he wants.
It just sounded disingenuous.
Well, it just sounds phony.
Yes.
It just sounds like, you know.
Right. Well, it's just he's never, he's never said it before in his life.
Right.
At least to us.
757?
I'm from 757.
What?
I'm from 757.
I know that kid now. It's embarrassing. I know that kid
I'm
like
guessing,
18
by
years.
The way,
I've never heard him say it from the 757.
I'm guessing they say the in front
right,
of it.
Yeah,
he goes, I'm
say,
from 757.
Yeah, well, that just shows his eternal whiteness.
I'm from 757.
What is it? Is it Norfolk or Virginia Beach? What is 757? What is it?
Hampton.
It's Hampton area.
Norfolk.
That, right. So I've heard Kevin say before, I'm from Norfolk or whatever
Virginia
it is.
Virginia Beach.
I've never heard him say, I'm from 757.
Well, I'm from 757.
No, you're not.
He's botching it, too.
But I'm guessing when Plexico Burris says it, he says, I'm from the 757
or
the 757.
Yes. He can say whatever he wants, free country, but we could also goof on him. That's all. That's all. I love that.
I still love that intro. Play it again.
Play it one more time. Because I was talking. I didn't get my cans on.
You're out there waiting for Roy Rogers. Roy Rogers is bringing us food today.
Boy, that's a game changer.
I'm from 757. I'm from 757. I'm from 757.
Play it again, Kevin.
I'm from 757.
It's way bigger news that we're getting roast beef from Roy Rogers to me.
Then scheduled.
Then Pusha T.
And Brett Connolly from the Caps scheduled to join us here coming up at 8:40. I wanted to bring up this side story that I think is pretty interesting. It's kind of a baseball geeky thing. We've had Brian Kenny on the show from MLB Network a few times, and he's huge into analytics. And one of the things which he pushes is a theory called bullpenning, which is relying less on your starting pitcher and kind of the traditional model of a starting pitcher going 6, 7, 8 innings, handing over to a setup man, handing it over to a closer. He's a proponent of, if you have to use a hockey term, which we've learned lately, a high danger situation, if it's in the 7th inning, use your closer then, because that's the most important time to use your closer. And he talks about bullpenning. Well, the Tampa Bay Rays are taking it to another level. They are going to be starting against the Orioles in 3 straight games, a relief pitcher, Sergio Romo.
All right, but there are reasons for this, and I want to. Can we expand on it, Valdez? Have you followed this at all? I mean, they are playing your Orioles. Drabby, are you following this?
This is Matt Valdez.
This story?
I know a little bit about
Valdez
it.
Valdez is punted right. on
now,
the.
They're
A's.
Doing this because of the Orioles lineup in
they're
particular.
Primarily right-handed hitters. He's right. a right-handed relief pitcher.
Right.
He's a 35-year-old career long reliever.
Right.
He started 2 straight games against the right-heavy Los Angeles Angels last weekend. And so,
and how many innings did he go?
In both contests, Romo got the first few outs and exited by the 2nd inning.
Okay.
And then Tampa Bay's bullpen finished out the rest of the game. So they're bullpenning.
Well, that was their plan all year, though, right? What I read is they were going to have 4 regular starters and they were going to bullpen the 5th spot. That was my understanding was the plan going into spring training.
I think it's also because they had a starter just go on the DL. But still, it's interesting because if this theory works, this could be the start of a trend. I know Brian Kenny, I saw him tweeting yesterday. He was all excited about it because he was likening it to the defensive shift. That, I mean, that sometimes is normal.
Tell me why this makes sense, though. I just want to hear the thoughts.
Well, because the guys at the top of the lineup mm-hmm. are going to get more at-bats, mm-hmm. right? So, and the whole point for them is to get those good hitters on base. Well, they're going to have a lot
less success
against a right-handed pitcher if they're right-handed. So the top of the Orioles lineup is Mancini, Adam Jones, Machado,
right.
and Jonathan Schoop. They're all right-handed batters.
Right.
Scope.
Yeah,
sorry.
Or Scope.
Right.
Sorry.
Right.
So if he gets them all out, you just completely neutralize the beginning of their
and
lineup.
And also just the change. It's kind of like the Hellickson thing on steroids. It's that when these batters, the top hitters, have a chance against a starter to face them 2 times, 3 times, 4 times, they're more likely to be successful. But if you're throwing out that closer or a reliever early and then you're flipping it, they're having to face a different pitcher each time. They're less likely to be successful.
But don't they face them the same amount of times? What's the difference if your reliever is facing him in the seventh inning or he's facing him in the third inning? That first inning,
I don't get
that.
It's true, but facing a different guy every time right from the beginning of the game. You're not facing a starter two or three times.
You're never putting the starter in. It's not bullpenning where you're starting with the...
Look, bullpenning, I guess the whole theory is... You use your bullpen in the best way that's advantageous to you.
All right, I got
it. So it's using
your
advantages
early. You don't have to say anymore. I completely understand it. The way I initially read it was you're doing the game backwards. Starting with your closer, and then your starter's coming in the third inning.
No.
Okay, I get it. It's just relievers every time.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of nuance to the bullpenning theory, but like say the Nationals were to face a lineup that starts lefty-lefty-lefty.
You don't have to sell me on it. I'm okay with it.
Instead of, maybe you start Sammy Solis against him.
Well,
something.
Sammy Solis is horrible.
I know.
I hate him. But he's my A.J. Cole now. Okay.
That's your new guy, your new target?
Yeah.
That A.J. Cole's moved on?
Sammy Solis is he's in a perfect world, he throws one pitch. And he gets like a ground ball, and you get him out of there.
Sounds like in a perfect world for you, he throws no pitches.
None for me. I think even for Rizzo, he wants one.
Right? What is the follow-up on Cakes and Valdez betting on tonight's game? If you missed this, Cakes has called this like a mortal lock. So Max Scherzer, who's a pretty good bet every time he's on the mound.
Yes.
He's probably having another Cy Young campaign. He's facing this guy, Jose Urena, who is 0-7 with a 4.5 ERA, and the Marlins stink, and they don't score for him.
Now, the due theory is also in play because you could argue that he's due to somehow help his team pull out a win, but I just don't see it happening against Max Scherzer.
Now, didn't you say something like this a week ago? I can't remember what the matchup was.
Yes, it was Scherzer's last outing.
No, I slept on the fact that one of the Padres pitchers, and I can't remember his name at this point, is the worst pitcher of all time at Nats Park, two blocks away from where we're broadcasting. And I saw that he was pitching again at Nats Park, and I knew this 8 hours before the game, yet I did nothing about it. It's one of my life's biggest regrets.
One of life's biggest regrets.
I didn't cobble together a large sum of money and bet it on the Nats that night. So now I feel like I'm
chasing... But didn't they lose that game?
No, they pummeled it.
They won that game.
They crushed it. I think they won the game like 10-2, if my memory serves me correctly. So now I'm chasing my tail. Now I see, I missed that opportunity. Now this is the big one, which means somehow Max has a dud, whatever. Something weird happens. The Marlins wind up winning 4-2, and then I felt Valdez's betting account.
What if you just keep doubling down, though, until
well, that's one of the dumbest moves ever.
Well, then, it is in roulette.
You're 10K in the hole.
It is in roulette, but if you think you got a sure thing, you really think, how many times is it going to go wrong? Well, it's different than like a random chance thing. Do you know what I'm saying?
I know what you mean, but
it's different than random.
I had a weekend where I did that about 20 years ago where I bet.
Well, that was betting football games.
I bet on football games.
I know, that's different.
Every single football game, playoff
every
game
guy's
over the
done
weekend.
That.
And I lost every single one until I was in the hole for about $1,000. And I said, this is where it has to end. I have to nip it in the bud.
That was the
And
Jay
that was back
Moldy
when
$1,000
was like $10,000.
Yeah, it was a lot of money.
Yeah.
Still is a lot of money.
Yeah, but it's not like
I mean,
it
Cordell
was
Stewart, I remember like it was yesterday. All he had to do was get the ball like 6 more inches towards the goal line. He couldn't. But $1,000 out of Flake's spot.
Did he reach
so
out?
Salty.
Did he reach out for
Oh, yeah.
It? Yeah.
Go back and look at the... the tape from it had to be 15 or 20 years ago.
It was Colorado versus
no, this is when he was with the Steelers.
Oh, it was with the Steelers
playoff game. I was getting jobbed at every single turn. That's why sports betting is for losers.
Yeah,
it doesn't mean I won't do it when it comes
legal. I don't
legal.
Mind an occasional bet, but I'm not like Jason where I'm comfortable lighting money on fire.
That's why now I'm almost exclusively season total bets, but. The Nats,
I don't know why you think that's any different.
It's not.
I know.
The Nats Marlins.
Well, you know why? Here's why it's different. Because it's a daily sweat, but it's less overall invested. So if he bet $100 on every game,
yeah,
you got to be down $10,000 at the end of the year.
In Cakes' mind, he feels like there's less. Well, no, that there's less margin for error. too. So, like, if the
Nets over time,
yeah, because if the Nets lose tonight, you could put it.
No, I feel like there's more margin for error. I feel like if they were even to lose two games against the Marlins, they're able to get it back further down the line.
Yeah, but you feel like they're good enough to get over it. So right. One game out right. of 162,
sure,
right. So there's more margin for error, not less.
You're confusing me.
Well, it doesn't
You're
matter.
You're a little confused.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
I understand, but I also think what Cakes is doing, it's his way of having action every day
right.
without loading up
yeah.
every day.
I'm the
so
king.
It's $100, you bet it all season, right? Instead of $100
right.
every game.
I'm the king of the micro sweat.
Yeah,
the micro sweat
micro
is my friend.
Sweat.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's a good way,
actually, to keep your habit in check. It's not a bad way.
You know how jealous I was when I saw people giving me screenshots of what the 50-50 raffle was in Tampa Bay for Game 7?
Right.
I think the take home was like either 54K or whatever half of that is, 22.5K.
We gloss over the fact
whatever.
That Cakes does a pretty good job coping with a serious gambling addiction. No, he really does. Because it's all out in the public. But when Cakes was doing his online blackjack and he was losing, we considered an intervention,
mm-hmm.
okay, because you're talking about he was into the teens of thousands of dollars. He was quietly losing.
I think he might have been up to the 20s.
Might have been nudging in the 20s.
Let's just say Cakes lost. And we're not exaggerating. And this was, by the way, 17, 18 years ago. Well, we were making good money, but still, we were still just starting out, having kids. And Cakes quietly lost.
About a dozen years ago, yeah. if I had to guess.
We were making more money.
Yeah.
That's fine.
But still,
money, but still, yeah, kids. Quietly lost $20,000 and not telling anyone.
Stupid Bovada or yeah. Bodog.
Playing online
me.
Blackjack.
And actually,
so that's a lot of money.
And actually, regardless,
that's real money.
Regardless of how much money we were making at the time, if I put $20,000 right here, right now, and I said, it's yours, you would be butt-sized.
Of course.
And essentially, that same stack just got taken from you.
I flushed away 20K
yes.
like a big stupid idiot.
I mean, I was thinking about Jason called in yesterday.
Losing it.
Jason called in yesterday and said he lost $989. I would be distraught
well,
if I lost
$989. You don't have that gambling gene.
I don't.
At all. And I don't have it for the most part either.
$989 would sting.
But hey, look, Cakes lost 20K and came in here. I was faking like everything was
yeah.
normal.
Yeah, that's what people who are the general gamblers do.
He has they a try to serious go- gambling issue.
By the way, I'll be at MGM National Harbor in just about
yeah, when's,
2 hours.
Hey, when's the Cakes Classic?
Next
first
Wednesday.
First Wednesday of every month. Which, by the way, if we wind up going to Vegas, that date might be in flux.
Okay.
But we'll have to see what
transpires. Yeah, has anybody talked to CK today about that?
No.
I think I could make those dates work if we came back at a reasonable time on Friday. Because I have to travel Friday evening. I don't know if you guys are up for it.
But getting back to the original point, my tingle tonight is play the Nats on the money line. Don't worry about the odds. Max is on the bump. The Marlins pitcher.
What's it going to be, about 300 to win 100?
I think it's going to be minus 270.
Yeah. He said he wanted to put a grand on it. That would pay him about 370.
Considering it.
Always
I love considering.
All right, coming up next, Brett Connolly, right winger for the Washington Capitals, as we talk about the Stanley Cup Final. Keep it here on The Junkie. Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. You want to follow along on TV? We've been very excited because the Caps have advanced the Stanley Cup Final. And joining us right now on the Maps Warehouse Hotline is Brett Connolly, right winger for the Washington Capitals. Congratulations,
wow.
Brett.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me this morning.
Yeah, hey, so yesterday was a true off day, right? There was no morning skate or anything. What'd you do?
Nothing. Slept and just relax. We're going to have a pretty intense couple weeks here, both physically and mentally. So I think the guys deserve the day off. Today we had another optional skate or just going in for treatment. So we've had a couple days off the ice and just to recharge and get ready for a really fun series here.
Yeah, we can't wait. One of the great things, too, about the NHL playoffs is you guys get after it. Now, it spreads out a little bit for the finals, but playing every other day from a fan's perspective is unreal, right? We absolutely love it. From your perspective, though, as the athlete at the end of a long season, what does your body feel like right now?
It's pretty worn down. I think for us, once you get to the playoffs, everyone's we're wearing down a little bit,
right?
And guys are looking after their bodies pretty well, and I think you just feed off that crowd in both the away and home rinks to get you through it. And once the game's over, you're pretty tired, but it's a lot of fun. There's so much on the line every night, and everybody's playing so hard. And we're having a lot of fun with this run here.
Adrenaline just gets you through, I guess.
For sure, yeah, for sure. Yeah. It's so intense. When you're not playing, you try and just relax as much as possible because the games are so intense. And once you get out there for warm ups, you kind of switch on that that competitive drive, and you get ready. And it's been a hell of a run. We're having so much fun. Hopefully, we can get four more wins here.
Brett, I'm reading an article from a Canadian newspaper online, and it's really cool that your 80-year-old grandfather is making the trip to Vegas along with your parents to be able to see you play in games 1 and 2 of the Stanley Cup Final. Talk about how cool that is that you get to experience this with your family and your grandfather is able to share in with it. He's seen you play from a young age, and now he gets to see you at the pinnacle playing for the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, really cool. It seemed like literally the second we won in Tampa, my parents had flights booked already. So, he's from Newfoundland, Canada, a very remote place, and he's extremely excited to see me play a bunch of times. But obviously, this is on another level. So, can't wait to see him, my family. It's gonna be a lot of fun for all parties.
What was it like the Game 7 environment there? And then I'm wondering, Game 6, you guys, both games ultimately, you guys dominated the scoreboard, but in game 6 was so much of a dominating game with the hitting and the out shooting and obviously the goaltending. But then Game 7, it took off like a different dynamic there where you guys were just capitalizing, right? You're countering and getting these quick goals. And
you were out-hit versus the other game.
So was that a conscious approach? Like, hey, we're going to be a little bit different here in Game 7? Or is that just sort of how it played out?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think that's kind of how it played out. Game 6, I think, was probably our best game in the series. And then Game 7, they actually they dictated a little bit of the play early. First period, we'll be going early, and then they were good for the first period. They had some good chances. Holtz was really good again. Just the way it played out, we just stuck with it. Berkey got another one and went up 3-0. And it's tough to come back in the playoffs when you get up a few goals. So we kind of just we kept pushing, and it's pretty nerve wracking right to the end. Even though you're up 3-0, you're still sitting on the bench just waiting for that time to
totally.
Run out. So
totally.
We found a way again. We're gonna close group. We got a lot of guys pushing here. A lot of guys are chipping in and contributing, and that makes it a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's been so exciting as a fan to watch it. Everybody contributing. I think I saw at one point the stat was 17 different guys have scored in the playoffs. Can you bring us inside the locker room just a little bit? I'll just go back to, I think it was game 3 where I felt like, wow, it was kind of a dud there. And I was like, I remember tweeting at the time, I hope somebody is breaking something in the locker room right now. You know what I mean? Like, does that ever happen? Like, what gets you? Because we all know you've seen it where in the first period you got like a dud, and the second period, totally different team. What happens there in that time frame?
Yeah, well, when you get in the room, obviously, everybody kind of thinks about how the period went, and our guys will speak up, and then Barry will come in and say his piece, and guys for the most part know, when we're playing good and when we're playing bad, and we'll take it upon themselves to be better. And, there's definitely times when things need to be said in the room, and, we've managed to be really resilient and respond to, when we don't play well. We've usually came back and played well either the next game or the next period.
Right.
Just the way our group is. I think we've managed to rebound pretty well, and you need that in the playoffs. You need to just bury it and move on and just find a way to be better.
I'm curious. So you play Vegas Monday night in game 1, and then you're going to have an off day in Vegas. Will that be something that's discussed with the team? Will guys be allowed to gamble and kind of let loose a little bit? What's it going to be like on the off day? Because that's a lot of time between games. Because typically when you'd play Vegas, you'd be probably flying out of there the next day. Now all of a sudden you're there for 3 days or 4 days.
Yeah. You know what? there'll be a lot of time for having fun and everything when we win. So I think guys are pretty focused. We'll have, guys will probably stay in the hotel for most of it. Guys will walk around. I don't know if guys will be really gambling, maybe. But we'll be in the hotel just preparing for our game. There'll be a lot of time for extracurriculars after we're done, for sure. But it's definitely a city where there's a lot of distractions. There's no denying that. But also it's going to be a big stage, and guys are focused. Guys aren't going to be fooling around.
Now, obviously, if you guys knew the answer, you would change it. But everyone's talking about the home struggles, right, for you guys. And maybe it's just random. You know what I mean? That would be my guess. But who knows? Is there something to say for the fact that maybe you guys on the road feel like the underdog a little bit, or a different environment, maybe a little too comfortable at home? Who knows? I mean, what can you put your finger on it?
You know, I don't think so. I think sometimes that's the way it goes. Sometimes maybe you try and be too fancy at home, put on a show for your fans, and when you're on the road, you're just playing simple and you're not really thinking about, you know, all the extra stuff. But you know, I think it's just the way it's worked out. Even in the Tampa series, both teams, we won three on the road. They won three here. So, it's just the way it worked out. It's a weird thing that sometimes I've been on teams where it's been the complete opposite, where you can't win on the road. And it seems like this year we just find a way to win on the road. And that's a big, big plus for our group. We obviously need to find a way to win a couple games here at home if we're going to win this thing.
So so I'm a casual hockey fan who just falls in love with you guys come to playoffs. And all I hear about like the last line change and all of these sort of advantages that you have at home, you know, like on faceoffs or whatever. Is that all just sort of overstated then?
No, I don't think so. I think at home Barry will have the last line change, so they'll throw their lines out, and then he'll decide which forward line, which D is going to go out against that thing. So I think there maybe be a little bit more thinking when you're at home. When you're on the road, your name is just getting called, and you're just going on the ice and just playing, and the other coach has to kind of react to what you're doing. So I think in a way for players, I think that's a little easier when you're on the road, just because you don't have to worry about that. You just, your name gets called and you're over the boards and you're just playing and getting into the game and getting engaged. And at home, sometimes you miss a couple of shifts because, you know, the coach is trying to get a certain matchup, and sometimes that can disrupt the flow of the game. But in other ways, it can help having, you know, the right guys against the right guys. So it's just kind of a cat and mouse game at home, and then on the road, everyone's just playing and not really thinking too much.
Right.
Joined by Brett Connolly from the Washington Capitals. Was there any extra satisfaction for you personally of knocking out the Tampa Bay Lightning, the team that drafted you? Or you know what, you're on to the Washington Capitals now. You signed here in 2016. This is a new chapter. Or do you still have a little bit extra by beating the Tampa Bay Lightning and sending those guys home for the summer?
Yeah, it was definitely, I'm not gonna lie, it was nice. It was a hard series. I know a lot of those guys really well, and there's so much on the line to go in the Stanley Cup final. So it was a hard series. It was one of those things where when the puck drops, there's no friends. It was there were some battles out there with guys that I know really well, and but definitely nice to move on to the Stanley Cup finals and to beat those guys. It was definitely a bittersweet feeling.
Brett, I got to ask you about the Tom Wilson fight. Give us your take on that. It seems like you must be close to him because I saw pictures of your wedding and Tom Wilson went to your wedding. What's he like as a guy? Because on the ice, he's a mean SOB.
Yeah, he's a really good guy, good friends. We live in the same city in Canada, in Toronto, so came to my wedding. We're really close. We got really close since I've been here. So, he's one of those guys that plays extremely hard and, one of those typical old school hockey players, but he's turned into a hell of a player, and he works on his game every day. And, just sticking up for his teammates. He didn't like what that Coburn did with Kuzi. And when he's on the ice, you know he's on the ice. So you can't be doing that to his teammates. That's the way he is. And he wasn't letting Coburn get away with it. So there were they were going to fight when they came out of the penalty box. I don't think Coburn had a choice. So it was good to see, and good on Coburn too. It you know two guys willing to fight, and it's you don't see that very often in a game seven right out of the penalty box. But that's what it is. That's what it takes. You got to stick up for your teammates, and he's definitely a guy that that does that for us.
You know, real quick, I said to the guys afterwards, and I know this is tradition in hockey. Like after a hard fought series, any series, you guys line up, shake hands, and everything. I really thought Tampa was particularly gracious after that. Maybe I'm crazy, but I think it's very difficult. They seem, I know they're not. They're distraught. They want to play for the cup. There's no doubt about it. But they seem so respectful and almost genuinely happy for you guys. Am I crazy for thinking that?
I don't. Maybe I think it was a little bit of, deep down, and they're not feeling that. But
of course.
Think it's just a respect thing. I think when you battle for seven games and you're constantly hitting each other, there's a lot of extra stuff that goes on in a series, especially when it goes seven games and there's so much on the line, there's so much chirping and everything. I think there's just a respect level when you're all done. And for me, I know a lot of those guys, so it was a little different. They all were obviously excited for me and whatever, because it's a big opportunity for me and our team. And but deep down, there's no way that they were happy about that. It's just they're kind of putting on a front, I think, and just getting through the handshake line, and then they'll go in their room and feel their feelings. But it's such an emotional game, and so much goes into it that, when it's all said and done, you're just spent. Both teams are so spent, and they played us extremely hard, and they're a great team, and they're going to be a great team for a long time. And we're fortunate that we could get through them and get to the finals.
That's Brett Connolly from the Washington Capitals. Thanks a lot for joining us, pal.
Thank you, man. Good luck.
Best of luck out there.
Thank you, guys.
Really appreciate it. Yeah, thank you, buddy.
That's Brett Connolly. Right now, we're going to hook up listeners with tickets to go see Roger Daltrey perform The Who's Tommy Live. That's June 10th at Wolf Trap. Tickets on sale now at wolftrap.org and the Wolf Trap box office. But you can win your way in right now. 10th caller at 800-636-1067. Get more details at thefandc.com/contests. It's courtesy of Wolf Trap.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.